We're going to transform your business today by teaching you how you can use AI for sales prospecting to get more customers. We're going to break down what prospecting is, how you can use AI tools for email prospecting, call-based prospecting, and stick around to the very end because Kieran's got an amazing prompt to make sure that all of your prospecting, regardless if it's AI or human, is always in the tone and words of your customer, which is going to help you get more customers, which at the end of the day, what we're all trying to do. I'm Kit Bodner, CMO at HubSpot. I'm here with my co-host, Kieran Flanagan, SVP of Marketing at HubSpot. This is Marketing Against the Grain. Let's get into today's show. There is no secret formula for scaling customer support and boosting customer satisfaction. But there is the all-new HubSpot Service Hub, bringing service and support together in one platform so you can deliver the best experiences possible and free up a rep's time with AI-powered help desk, all so you can keep customers happy. Secrets out. Service Hub is a game changer. Visit HubSpot.com/service to learn more.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Ready to talk about some more AI. I wake up, I talk about AI, I do some AI. I'm reading the book, The Common Wave.
Oh, nice.
Which is actually a pretty cool book. It's all about AI. Actually, might have some things that will make me scared of AI. But I think prospecting is a really good place to start because it's actually one of the real areas where there's tangible tools you can use today. Right? A lot of what we talk about is probably coming in the future with these additional models. But prospecting is like an area that AI is impacting today.
Yeah. First of all, Kieran, I forgot to tell you.
I saw your little micro cup.
You know what's hit me, Kieran? The matcha. I'm having a matcha phase right now.
Oh, you're not going to back. Dude, we did matcha. You and I did matcha years ago. And I thought it was all done. We're all finished with the matcha.
It's come back, baby.
Oh my God.
I got my little tiny mug. I'm going completely counter to the Stanley culture of the giant mugs. And I'm going with the tiniest mug possible. Like, subscribe on YouTube if you're watching this on YouTube and you can see the tiny mug. And I'm doing a little matcha in the tiny mug. And
is it a matcha? Now, what is it? Is it a matcha and hot water? Is it a matcha latte? I used to like my matcha lattes. Obviously, almond milk, not real milk.
It is a vanilla matcha latte.
There we go.
With some matcha, a little bit of almond milk, and a little bit of vanilla bean paste.
So the thing that we are trying to get into, me and Amory, at the moment is a morning ritual of cacao. Like, we got the block.
Oh, yeah.
We've got the special maker of the cacao. But I actually might put some matcha in there. Like way back when we were growing at the HubSpot International office, when we just started the first office there, I actually brought in a person who was like an expert in matcha to teach the office and why they should actually drink matcha. Like I got really into it. And then it was one of those things that actually just got phased out. So I think I'll bring it back. Like you've given me the motivation to bring it back.
I'm telling you, I'm bringing it back. I'm declaring it here. If you have a favorite type of matcha or a favorite matcha recipe, drop us a YouTube comment. Kieran and I will try it. We'll drink it on the show. We're having a matcha phase.
I think I'm going to get into creatine gummies. So there you go. There's another thing.
Oh, I have a whole creatine thing for you, man. We can talk offline.
Okay. Give me your Kipling Encyclopedia knowledge of creatine.
5 milligrams powder better than gummies, though.
That's what I'm doing. I'm doing the 5 grams each day of powder.
Yeah, you don't need the gummies. You only need the gummies if you're like traveling or something and carrying a bag of white powder looks too suspicious.
Okay, I'll stick with the powder.
Speaking of white powder and sales prospecting, let's go.
They're very similar.
Exactly. Creatine and sales prospecting could be the whole show. But the setup here is we wanted to do a show around a topic where AI is having a real deep impact today. And one of the areas that it is on sales prospecting. And I think over the next 12 to 24 months, sales prospecting is going to completely transform thanks to AI. There are a ton of different startups. We're going to talk about them now and a ton of incumbents playing in the kind of prospecting, messaging, email generated by AI space. Why don't you just, Kieran, set us up with like, how do you define and think about sales prospecting? And what do you think AI's role in it is?
Well, so like if you think about AI today, the way I would think about AI is where can it do the jobs that it's worse than a human, but it's worth them doing because I'm able to apply resources to. This is actually a really good framework. We can work it out live because I've been thinking about this. There's 3 buckets, right?
He's patting himself on the
back. Yeah, no, because this is something I was thinking about today. And I've actually just think I've unlocked what I was trying to frame, like not 2x2, like nearly a 2x3.
Let's go.
Which is like worse than a human or better than a human, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if AI is worse than the human for a certain service or a certain task, you would want the AI to do it because you were not going to apply human to that job because it's not worth your time, right? So there's sometimes where the AI is inferior to the human, but the AI should do those things because you don't have human capital to apply to that. Then there's certain things AI is equivalent to a human, and it's just unit economics, you know, better resource, unit economics. It's infinite amount of tasks it can get done versus you having to hire all these humans. And then there's those tasks where the AI is better than a human. So what the reason I would bring that up is because I was starting to like map out a modern go-to-market and starting to think about all of the places you would apply AI to. And then what does the AI do? Like personalization, like what is it good at? And then for those things, is it better than the human, worse than the human, or the same as the human? And so prospecting is like one of those interesting things because you think like, where does it land within that framework? Is it better, the same, or worse than the human? And what does it actually do? So I think first of all, some of it depends on the data sources, right? The better the data, the better the output. Like if you actually have really great data on the company and the person, then AI is going to be able to do a better job in crafting an email for you. I think AI is better at basically categorization of the data. We can get into this a little later. So it can take a large amounts of data and it can categorize that into like themes, it can categorize that into like tone of voice, it can categorize that into like the core things you want to tell that person. And then on the write-in skills, I think it's the same as a human. So on the data side, I think it's better than the human. And on the write-in skills, it's the same as the human. Now, why prospecting is such a good place for AI to start is because better than the human in terms of the write-in, if you've given it all of the right data sources, is much better than what you have today, where you have human salespeople applying capital and time against something that you can actually automate for them so they can spend their time trying to sell the deals. And over time, you should actually see the average productivity of a rep increase because they're not having to do these other tasks. But the caveat to me is, and I'm interested to get your take on this, the caveat to me is what I see all of these tools doing, and we should get into some of the demos, is they are basically taking the kind of sales prospecting templates that exist today and they can replicate them at scale.
Mm-hmm.
You and I probably know all the different like tricks of prospecting, like, you know, company news, someone's moved job, like there are all these kind of different cues you can use to like get that person's attention. The reason I kind of started on like, oh, this is a really good conversation is because I was really trying to figure out like where AI is better. Because at the moment I see in prospecting is AI can replicate the human en masse. But where can AI actually provide personalization that does not exist today, right? And like we can get into some ideas on how we could do that. But that to me is like, where are we in prospecting? Some of these tools are really great because they can replicate your best reps prospecting techniques at scale.
Okay, I got a couple things I want to jump in here on. First, just to level set with everybody who's watching and listening today, when we're talking about prospecting, we are talking about a salesperson reaching out to a prospect who's either a lead in your CRM that has interacted with your company in some way, or is that a company that you think would be a really good fit for your product or service and you want to reach out. And the whole thing is to connect with that prospect, with the traditional goal being to book a meeting. So where you could have a meeting, have an initial call to suss out, is there really a fit here? Is there budget? Is this the right person that I should be talking to? Traditionally, it's referred to as BANT, budget, authority, need, timeline. Like you're trying to establish those things and make that work. And that is deeply what we're talking about here today. And Kira, you're bringing up, you're like, what I want to try to establish for the audience today is, what is the thing that AI is better at than humans when it comes to prospecting?
Right.
And I would posit to you this. I think humans are really great at what I'd call triggered prospecting, which is the examples you gave. So a company gets a funding round. Somebody gets promoted. Somebody changes jobs. A company lands a really big contract. Like, something happens that creates a change point in that company, and that company is now a fit for a product or service. Like, humans can basically get that notification, put together a really exceptional crafted email, and normally get a pretty high response rate. And those tend to be the best performing prospect emails that happen, or anything that's based on
triggers.
Triggered data. A big trigger data source, for example, is Sixth Sense, big HubSpot partner of ours and everything. And so people using Sixth Sense data to go and do this. Here's where I think AI is better, Kieran. I think AI is better on the true kind of like cold prospecting side, where you're like, hey, this person is in my database, but they haven't interacted with me for a month or two or six. Or I know this person works at this company and that's about all I know. And I have like a little bit of information about that person. What traditionally happens that I see now is reps, well, I don't have that much information. So they kind of have templates, like you said, and they kind of do their best to fill out a template and execute against that. Where I think AI can do a much better job guessing at scale than humans as to what that person's problem might be and craft a very specific one-of-one custom message to that person as to why this product or service is the best fit for them and the best fit for them right now. So I think if you were going to look at prospecting overall and where AI can really fit in, I think it is that like really cold prospecting bucket, because it gets you better customization and you can send those customized messages at scale much faster than you can through like regular humans.
Right. What AI should be really good at is profiling people, which is kind of what you're insinuating in that. It should be able to say, from the limited data I have, the profile of the person is this, and I should be able to construct an email to talk about the core problems and challenges you have, and then be able to retrofit my product into like why it's the solution. What is the reason actually you think it's better? When you say cold, which is people you have not engaged with for a long amount of time, we should talk about, because when people are going to listen to us, there's cold, which is you don't have that contact in your database, and the HubSpot cold, which is they're in the database, but we haven't interacted with them in a long amount of time. Like a lot of companies, cold is basically you don't have any relationship with this prospect. They're not in your database. I think you're talking about the cold where you actually have that person's contact details, but you have not interacted with that person, or you haven't engaged with that person in some amount of time.
So I'm talking about both for the record.
Okay. Why do you think AI, is it because of the profiling? Like it can basically take a limited data set about that person and be able to provide a much more customized email because it can retrieve data much quicker and profile you, like figure out who you are, what profile you are.
Yeah. So there's a few things. We've talked a lot about data today, right? And like, if you're doing prospecting, you can train your prospecting agent on all your call transcripts. And
yes,
it can just have way more information than any one human could.
Right.
So that's a really good thing because that helps it understand and match problems. Like, oh, this type of buyer normally has this type of problem.
Right. Right. Exactly.
And can help predict that. And then AI can really then match that problem, if you've got like good content resources, to the right content resource or next step to like actually solve that in a way that's just like, it's too hard for any human, even a great human, to do that and to do that at any real like scale and productivity.
100%.
And that is the real leverage and advantage
right
here, where like, I think there are some things that human prospecting motions are better at. We've talked about it, especially like that trigger stuff. But on the like, hey, I have very limited understanding of this person. And like, my guess is gonna be worse than an AI's guess a lot of the time. And the reason I believe this to be true, Kieran, is if you go back in the show, while Kieran was out on parental leave a couple months ago, Emmy Jonathan from our team and I hung out and we did a couple shows. And one of those shows, we talked about our AI-generated email from a marketing email perspective. And we were able to almost double our conversion rate. We've now increased that email conversion rate by 94% for the first email that we send somebody after they become like a lead for us. And the reason for that is because the AI is just much better at guessing problem and matching solution
right
than at the time, like a marketer was, by segmenting and putting somebody in a bucket. And what we're saying is that is going to extend to prospecting because it's kind of a natural extension.
It's much better at profiling. Like a good example of this is way back when we were starting to scale Facebook paid ads. So like more on the early days of Facebook, like way back when. And we would split test our audiences, audience segmentation against the what Facebook provided by the algorithm, right? So basically take what Facebook suggested versus take what we segmented into an audience and split test which one had the best return on ad spend. And the reason we were doing that is because should we just continue to like create our own audiences and optimize towards those, or should we just let Facebook pick, right? And we just craft the copy. And over time, what we realized is Facebook's algorithm was much better at profiling our audiences and who we should target ads at than we were ourselves. And this is kind of what we're saying. It's like, it's yes, an extension of that, right? AI is going to be much better overall at profiling the user and matching the core problem to the benefits. The one thing I probably disagree with is I kind of disagree with where the human will be better and where the AI will be better. I think AI is going to be incredible at triggers.
Yes.
Right. I think it will be able to identify the right triggers and how those triggers and like which ones perform worse and which perform better. So triggers, what me, Kip and I mean is some event happens, whether that's external to your company, like a funding round, someone changes job. You can basically use tools to figure out if a company has changed their products using something we've built with. That's a trigger. or internal, which is like usually product data. So you have a freemium plan, someone is using something within the freemium plan, and you can kick off a trigger based upon that usage. And so I think AI can craft a really great email and over time learn the triggers that work and don't. What I think AI is not good at, and I can show the example. I know the founders, this tool is great, but I'm using this as an example of how you kind of think about constructing a prospect and email and where AI probably needs to get better over time. So this is a company called TriScout. I think I showed you it because actually did a really good version for you. And this is what I want to talk about specifically because the one at Diffu is really good for a certain reason. So in prospecting emails, there's really like the, you know, the headline, which is the subject line, which is really important. And then you usually, what I think you should have is like a kind of humorous, a personal, what I call the magic insight, right? It's just like personal, it's this humorous thing about that person that feels like it came from an actual human, another human, right? So like the example I give for you when it wrote you the email, do you remember when I showed you this, the opening tease for you was about your love of ketchup?
Yeah, it's like online a couple places and it clearly found it.
Right, because you're online, right? So you've done a bunch of interviews and you've talked about that in some certain spots. So it was able to find like a magic insight about you and personalize it to you. Because I think a lot of what we do with prospecting emails is personalize it to that person in the company. Like it's really the company we've personalized it to. Here's that you work at this company, this thing is happening in your company, here are the problems, but not you. And that's what I call the magical insight, which is like, oh, like I truly know something about you and I bring it up in a pretty humorous way. And then the next part is like, I establish the problem you have. So I truly understand the problem you have. And then the next part is like the benefits, like tease the benefits enough that you actually want to connect with that person. I think what we're saying is it will be able to like profile the problem and the benefits. So this is an example from Zapier, right? When I was in Zapier, I was playing around with this tool. This is Gary Vaynerchuk. He's coming on the podcast in a couple of weeks. So I thought I would do him. And like it does a pretty good job of like, hey, like your problem is probably this, right? Your solution is probably this. The other thing I like about this is it's so short and straight to the point.
Yeah, you need it to be short.
It's the magic insight, right? It's like, I can obviously, you know, edit these, but that's the thing. I is like, hey, like Gary's probably done some pretty interesting things online over the past week because he's really there. He's really present. And so that's the part that I still think a human does better than an AI.
I agree with that.
And for people on the RSS, we are showing a screen grab of like me and the prospecting tool and an email. All I have to do with this tool is basically give it a LinkedIn URL and it constructs the email.
And so will it find a magic insight for Gary?
Well, it didn't here. So I must ping the founders because I know them. So it did for you, but I can probably build templates. So I haven't built templates here. Mm-hmm. So this is like a certain template. What I think you should have is like different templates where you can like humorous, but personal, I don't know, what's the right word?
Personal anecdote. You want some type of personal anecdote here, right?
Yeah. So like I would construct the prospect and email in chunks, right? And I would have it do each of those chunks. And then the only thing for the magical insights, I've thought about this a bunch today, is you have to have some sort of validation that, hey, try to find five things about this person online. If you can't find that many things, then don't include because that person's just not online, right? Like there's a difference mm-hmm. between creating an email for you and creating an email from someone who is not on the internet, right? And so you have to have some sort of validation. And if that person doesn't have real content about them online, then you have to skip that step.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we are finding with all AI tools, Kieran, and this goes back to a show we did recently where we had the query of using AI to measure brand sentiment, is that AI is really good when there's a lot of online information about a person or a company.
Exactly.
If there's limited online information or data about a person or a company, that is where a human is probably better.
Right. That's a great guardrail.
Like that's just like very simple framing.
And I would break personalization into two parts. Actually, we're getting to a pretty great framework here. You could break personalization into personalized for the individual, personalized for the company.
Yes.
And then you probably need some sort of confidence score, right? And confidence score is based upon how much data you have to have a certain amount of data to construct a really great email. And you want to have a mix of both, right? Even in B2B, you want to have something personal about the individual and then a mix of like actually the company because they're buying software for the company. And you should have a confidence score for the individual. Say, hey, like I'm confident that I have enough information to do a personal anecdote here. Oh, I don't. And if I don't, if the confidence score doesn't reach a certain level, then don't. And then same with the company. And if it doesn't have the confidence score, it knocks it over to a human.
I think that's right. We'll be right back. But before, let me tell you about another podcast I love. Nudge, hosted by Phil Agnew, is brought to you by the HubSpot Podcast Network, the audio destination for business professionals. Ever noticed how the smallest changes can have the biggest impact? On Nudge, you learn simple evidence-backed tips to help you kick bad habits, get a raise, grow a business. Every bite-sized 20-minute show comes packed with practical advice. Nudge is fast-paced, but is still insightful with real-world examples that you can apply. Oh, and it's the UK's fastest-growing business podcast. If you want an MBA's worth of insight in one podcast, this is the right show for you. Entrepreneurs will love the show because it's filled with repeatable, proven studies, not hearsay and one-off success stories. You're going to love the show because I was interviewed by Phil. You can go check out my episode. And I recently listened to an awesome episode. It's called Six Scientifically Proven Persuasion Techniques. It's a must listen for anyone in marketing. Listen to Nudge wherever you get your podcasts. Look, I don't want to be mean, but we have gone 20 minutes into today's show without saying that the bar here is pretty low.
Oh, God. Based on the emails that I get.
Really,
oh, terrible.
Really, really bad emails.
Right. Really bad emails.
Really bad emails.
I wish I could bring up one of my emails.
I thought about bringing a couple up, but I thought it was like going to be too mean. But when I say I get just like emails that are so bad I laugh at, like that is a daily occurrence.
Right.
So we are not talking about like a really high bar here, which is another reason why AI can go and have an impact here. There's tools like TriScout. You could do some custom experiments with GPT-4. There's a lot of different ways you could go about trying to introduce AI into your prospecting workflow. But the reality is a lot of prospect emails are bad and you're going to start seeing much better prospect emails. And quite frankly, I'm here for it. I'd rather have AI write a better prospect email for me that's good.
If you're a company and you're like, hey, we can't afford these tools, and so how do I even get started? Like a really simplistic thing you can do is, I'm sure you're using some sort of CRM, right? You have to use a CRM if you're in any way like a company who's trying to grow. And so all I would do is when the person signs up to my form, I would basically zap that contact to Zapier. I would have an existing template. I would have OpenAI write the email and zap it back to the CRM. And so when the rep goes in to pick that lead up, there's a prospect and email ready for them to send out. And that's a pretty
cheap.
It's pretty cheap. It's not hard. Like if people want me to build that in the YouTube comments for another show, I can just build that for someone. But that's a pretty easy way to get started.
Yeah, you can do a personal show walking through that if people want it. So leave us a comment.
You want to get into what I think is like good and bad part of what's coming from AI prospecting. You want to get into like the funny...
The calling side of things?
The calling side of things.
Yeah. So if you're not familiar, AI, when you talk about prospecting, you're talking about email and you're talking about calling. Email seems like the obvious side of it, but calling is happening and calling is happening fast. And it's either going to be awesome or it's going to cause all of us to turn our phones off forever. Like, I'm a little bit concerned as somebody who already gets, like, I easily get 15 calls a day.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm worried about a day where I get like 100 calls a day.
I never answer my phone.
But yeah, there was this really interesting campaign from Bland.ai, which is a prospecting calling app. All right. If you're on the YouTube, Bland.ai did this whole billboard in San Francisco.
So good.
Where you call this number and it has a voice AI agent who is there to ask your questions. And so here's an example of somebody calling the number on this billboard and interacting with it in real time. And they know it's from the billboard because they gave a custom number on that billboard. And so they have a whole prospecting pitch delivered by voice AI. And they're talking about sales use cases. He's asking the AI questions. But Kieran, what it really demonstrates is that like when you have very focused use cases today, like this is a voice AI connected to this billboard, you can do it with very low latency and very high quality. It would be really hard to do this for like a generic, like somebody calling in some generic phone number. But if you have like a campaign around an event, or if you have a campaign around a product launch or whatever, where you have something very specific you can train that model on and associate a phone number with it, both from a, like an outbound calling, but also just from like an inbound calling, like somebody just calling you to learn more about it. Voice AI is already in some ways here and pretty good for like the prospecting voice use case.
First of all, I do think the AI apps have such an advantage in demos, right? Like the demos are really
so
good.
Sick.
That was a pretty great demo. We showed Hume.ai, which was the empathetic human-like voice. That was a great demo. If you actually play this out, you probably get to a point where like every billboard ad could have a Easter egg number to call, but you could have a celebrity associated with that campaign because you can go to a company like Delphi.ai, which I kind of covered before, and have Delphi.ai, and there's other places that do this, like replicate a celebrity. So you can have a celebrity train the avatar on their likeness, on their voice. And then you can just basically license that out and someone runs a billboard campaign and says, hey, like, you're the perfect celebrity. If someone calls this number, they can interact with you. Like every brand campaign has a celebrity ready to like interact with anyone at scale. It kind of does add a ton of creativity to what you can do to these out-of-home traditional marketing channels.
It's huge.
But what do you think about it for prospecting? Like, here's another one I want to just quickly show you and then say, like, where are you on, like, this is going to work or not work, right? And again, it's a demo. It's called Airs.ai. I'm going to connect with the founders to learn more.
I'm calling today because we have a special offer I think you might find interesting. Is this a good time to talk about it?
Sure, yeah, let's talk.
Oh, fantastic. Firstly, I'd love to hear about your experience with Air School. How was it for you and Philip? What aspects of the school did Philip enjoy the most?
It does a whole demo of a sales call. Now, it's for B2C companies, right? Not B2B, so it's not very complicated sales. Now, I will say for this demo, you actually can't really tell who's the human, who's the AI, because I listened to it and I was like, actually, who's the salesperson? And then I realized who the salesperson was, and that was the AI. I will say if I was Airs.ai, at some point, what I would do is have a little text box here. And again, for the people on the RSS, we're showing the website and you can just click on the big play demo button to like hear the sales call. I would have a little text box here and I would be able to enter any product and have like a AI in the background do a sales call for that product.
Yes.
Like that would be pretty mind-blowing.
That'd be sick.
But what do you think happens then when we do these things at scale? Let's say like we get prospecting and the average is like a B in terms of quality. Like that's the average, right? There's always going to be AA+.
Yeah.
And similar to calls, like everyone gets to a B because of AI. What do you think happens to those tactics?
Look, well, we know historically that when tactics become really cheap and really easy, they get saturated, right? And that's the path that we are on. And normally when some part of a go-to-market gets really cheap and really saturated, the value shifts to another part. And so I think, Kieran, what I would pose it to you would be like, oh, if this really takes off, then most quality companies in a category will have consideration.
Right.
Because they will be able to reach everybody in their target market pretty cheaply. And like people will be like, yeah, now I've gotten like 10 AI calls and emails and stuff. Like I know you exist and I know like two bullet points of what you do, right? And so what's going to be important then, baby? Do you have a great product? Do you have a high NPS? Do you have a killer brand that people love and talk about? And are people going to see you outside of their inbox and outside of their phone?
Yeah.
Because if those channels are all super commoditized, then they're going to want to see you on YouTube. They're going to want to see you on social. They're going to want to see you in IRL situations. And building great brands, having personality, having a killer and easy to use product, those are the things that's going to matter. So I would say long term, prospecting is going to become less important, not more important, because it's going to get commoditized. It doesn't mean it's not going to be important at all, not going to be a function of what everybody has to do, but it's going to kind of commoditize and get to the steady state as AI matures.
Right.
So that's what I think is going to happen.
And I think the data will really matter in the quality of the prospecting. So if you have some unique data that you're capturing on customers and prospects that you can use in creative ways, that's the way that you get into that AA+ bucket, right? And if you're able to do some pretty creative things with data to have that magical insight, that's how you get into that A to A+ bucket. I think for everyone who's in the turn the app on, press the button and let it go, they're the people who will get saturated away to very small incremental improvements.
Look, data is going to be the core currency here because like, you know when that prospecting is going to be really helpful is if like you can reach out to somebody who just subscribed to your YouTube channel.
Right.
Or you can reach out to somebody who just engaged with you on a social post.
Exactly.
And that from a data perspective right now is very hard and very few companies can do it without a lot of time and expensive work. I would be interested in investing in any company that can solve that at scale for like the mass market.
Right. I have to bounce listeners, but I want to leave you with like a little takeaway AI prompt or something that you can do that I think is a pretty cool thing. Now there are, again, there's some companies that are going to do this, but I think you can build it yourself. One of the things I got kind of really interested in was Grammarly for customer language, right? So there's this famous quote from Clancy Hopkins, wrote the book on scientific advertising, talks about really marketing is just talk in the language of your customers, right? Don't talk on all this like weird jargon. just talk to your customers like they're a friend and you're going to be much better at how you sell your product. I was like, boy, like if you have data about your customer, like sales calls and these other things, could you not just build a Grammarly for your content or build a Grammarly for your sales enablement decks or whatever else you may be doing? Because instead of uploading the content or writing the content in that panel and it checking the box on like Spellin and Grammarly, it would just correct to make sure it's aligned with your customer's language. And so there's like some simplistic steps you can go through to do this, right? If you have all your sales calls, you can transcribe them using something like otter.ai. There's other transcription services. Gong has one built in. Compile all your transcriptions together. So you get like one document. You transcribe all your sales calls. You put all the sales calls into a singular document. I'm using sales calls because I think they're the best place to start.
Yeah.
You can even basically break them out by closed won, closed loss for our listeners who are not in B2B. That means like the sales calls that led to a customer becoming a customer, the sales calls that led to someone talking to your sales team and not buying your product, right? That's a pretty great way to segment them out. And again, coming back to what we talked about at the very start of the show, AI is great for like mass categorization and summarization of data. Like it can do it at scale. And so you can actually use ChatGPT then to create like a customer language guardrails based upon those sales calls, right? And what I'm showing here for the YouTube watchers, and I'll describe it for the RSS readers, is there's this kind of prompt that I have given and can share again in our prompt library that will take a document of just like paste it in customer calls from otter.ai or Gong, just a huge document, and it will categorize them into like core themes and categories and what language the customer actually used, like commonalities of the language the customer used. So there's this like huge prompt that I'm showing, but for the most part, what this prompt does is it takes that document and categorizes it into key themes, key categories, and customer language. And the cool thing is what you can do then is you can create a custom GPT. You can upload that doc and say, hey, this is like my customer language. Please correct all content that I upload here to match that language, to match the key themes, categories, and tone of voice and language. And then you actually have, just by using free like ChatGPT Pro, creating this custom GPT with this doc, you actually have a Grammarly-like tool that will correct any content you give to that custom GPT to speak in the language used by your customers. And then you can imagine building upon it using things like your customer support tickets, your social media mentions, your product reviews in sites like G2 and TrustRadius. And you kind of build a customer language repository and use it to create this Grammarly-like customer language. So I think that's like one highly actionable thing that people could start to play with and try out for their company. Again, you have to have some amount of data to start with, but I think it's a pretty great place to start figuring out how to make your emails and prospecting emails align to the language your customers actually use.
I think that is a great actionable way to end today's episode. If you want Kieran to do a whole show and walk you through, leave us a comment. And you know what? If we get a lot of comments, we will connect with somebody and do it for a listener's business.
Right.
Because we could connect with you and get some of your sales call transcripts and stuff, and we could do a whole show on that. So leave a comment on YouTube if you think that would be interesting. So we walked all through what prospecting is, how AI can impact prospecting, where it could be really effective now, how to think about it from both an email and voice perspective, and then how you could go and for very low cost today, build a custom GPT to help you get your tone and voice for prospects right and to actually have your prospecting be very customer focused versus product focused. That's a hell of a lot of stuff in a little over half an hour, Kieran. This is an awesome show, man. Thanks for doing it.
Yeah, lots of stuff for our listeners. I actually do really have to bounce.
All right, peace out, everybody. We'll see everybody on the next show.
Bye, everyone.